Hello and welcome to the Winding Roads Companion podcast. I am your host, Catherine Lewiston, and I'm so pleased to have with me in the studio, Greg Cheeseborough. Greg, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I make pots. And I make pots for functional people.
I love that. Just getting straight to the point.
That's where it's at.
That's the idea. Yeah. So this podcast is all about trying to give people a glimpse into the artist's stories and backgrounds and kind of give them a glimpse into their creative practice for the Winding Roads Art Tour. And so I would like to start with a little bit of history. How did you first become an artist, or when did you first consider yourself an artist?
Oh, snap.
Getting deep right away.
Right off the get-go.
Yeah.
Art, like, has always been present in my life. I feel my parents were a big part of bringing that to me. I ate off handmade pottery pieces my whole life. And
that's incredible.
Well, I thought that everybody did. Right. And then I went
in the way that kids think that everything they do is the normal thing. Yeah.
100%. 100%. 100%. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, like Wedgwood? Like what? Like what? I just I've always appreciated pretty things. I feel that's an easy, accessible area. But, like, pots are, they're not really easily defined as pretty, you know?
Mm.
But I always ate off handmade pieces. And so I feel that was a big thing in my development as a young person.
Yeah.
That, like, and then I would go to my friends' houses and it was all like Cisco commercial, you know, bakeware, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, where is the soul?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. to me, that's what resonated, was the artist making the work. I was in middle school. I didn't know anything.
And for those of you not in the studio right now, Greg is taking a sip out of a beautiful functional piece of pottery.
For functional people only.
Yes. Functional pottery for functional people. That's awesome. And so when do you remember when you made your first piece of pottery?
100%.
Yeah.
In elementary school, I made a shoe.
Okay.
It's absolutely awful. My mother gave it to me. It's
gave
horrible.
It back to you?
Yeah. It's just, it was a Puma.
Mm-hmm.
But in college, I started ceramics. And so, unfortunately, my parents have a bunch of Christmas presents from 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they're just, they are incredibly ugly.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, so every year we go and visit them. And I can't wait to break them. Mm-hmm. So that's the problem with bad pottery,
mm-hmm.
is that it's around forever.
Yeah. I am thinking about the story that I heard, gosh, maybe like 8 or so years ago, when India decided to get rid of like the tiny plastic cups for chai, and they started making, it basically gave this entire cottage industry of potters this like incredible boost.
Single use.
Yeah, well, because they were bisque fired.
Right.
And so that was one piece of pottery that you could kind of turn back the time on and like remake, you know?
But the beautiful thing about that story is they would get their chai and then they would throw it on the ground and they would step on it.
Uh-huh.
And it's beautiful because it's turning, well, I mean, maybe not like an environmental thing is beautiful, but it's super cool. It's so much better than plastic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's really cool. So can you tell me when you began participating in the Winding Roads Art Tour?
Before this tour, there was a different one, Snapdragons, Kindred Threads posted a tour. But I don't know. It's only been a handful of years that I've done, ever since it rebirthed.
Yeah. It's gone through some evolutions, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And like, just for like the audience's context, I'm super new to the area. I moved here with my husband in May of 2024, so I haven't even been here a year. I feel super lucky and grateful to be doing this podcast because it's giving me the opportunity to meet and have these like really deep conversations with all of these amazing creative people. But it also means that I have like a really steep learning curve for things like the history of this art tour and its evolution and how people have come in and out of that space over the years, because from what I understand, it's really been an institution as it has evolved over time. And I think that's really, really cool.
What I feel is, art shows have been in the decline and studio tours are in the incline, and they've been like growing momentum over the years. And so this tour is like part of that, like the growth of the studio tour scene. Like, that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Why do you think shows are declining, and why do you think studio tours are on the increase?
A lot of it has to do with, basically the economy. We're coming off of a election year, and election years are horrible for art fairs. It's like every 4 years. Yep, it's a cycle. It's cyclical.
Oh my gosh.
It's, like, it's a thing. It's definitely a thing.
Wow.
So that's like part of it. But what I feel that the consumer really can resonate with is the seeing the space where the work is made, and seeing like how like these artists live. I feel that's like pretty big in like the growing of the studio tour thing that's happening.
Yeah. I imagine it also for artists that are showing from their studio, it means you don't have to pack things up. It means you don't have to get all of the stuff into the van. It means you don't have to use the pop-up tent, you know.
100%.
Yeah, like it's kind of a win-win for those hosting artists, because you can just wake up, have your morning coffee, and like pop into your studio and
That's
just
truth.
Welcome people into that space.
Yep, truth.
I think the other thing, you know, I do all sorts of crazy research on all sorts of different crazy things. But one of the things that I have noticed and that I have heard talked about is the idea that, like, Gen X was involved. Like, there was, like, a lot of... let me back up. So it was, like, the 80s, and there were, like, a lot of brands. And so there was... Brand recognition was, like, the big thing. And being able to advertise and, like, have... like infomercials on TV was like a really big thing in the 80s. And then there was this pushback against it in the decade or so after that. And now I'm an elder millennial. And one of the things that I have found to be true about the millennial generation for sure is that we look for story. We're not interested in just a brand name. What we want to know is what's behind the brand name. Like the first thing that I do when I look at a new product or a new company or something is I go to the about section and I look at what their story is and I figure out, okay, is this a company or a brand that I want to get behind? I think that in part is what is promoting that studio tour idea, because we not only get to see the art itself.
Yeah.
We get to see the space where it's created. We get to see, we sort of have a peek into the mind space of the artist through the visuals in that studio. And I think that's really powerful.
And share some space with these creatives. Mm-hmm. That's really insightful.
It's, you know, like the art fair in Soldiers Grove that happens in July, I think, or no. A little
September.
Bit later. September. Yeah. It was so lovely. Yeah. I went this last year and it was really, really great. But each of those white tents is sort of a neutral zone. You know what I mean? It's like every...
I would hope so.
Every artist can sort of like make their own space within that neutral zone, but it doesn't give the same personality as a studio, a person's like true studio space.
I know, it's tricky because a lot of these creatives don't like anybody in their space.
Yeah.
And so that's the rub. It's it's really interesting. You know, you got to clean up what you can. But, it can be challenging. But I feel it's beautiful. 2 years ago, I did not do the studio tour, and I went on the tour myself. And I went to every single stop, all the way down to Joe and in Gays. Like, it was wonderful. It was a great break in my rhythm, and and it was so cool to like see all these artists like in like where they work and like what they do. Like, I thought it was incredibly. It was really powerful for me, like, as a working artist.
Yeah. And speaking of working artists, can you tell us a little bit about your process? You know, like, how long does it take for you to make a piece? You know, like, what is your creative practice like?
Well, it's really quick, actually, to, like, throw, like, a coffee cup. It takes, like, 2 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, but then you also have to, like, pull the handle and, like, maybe turn a foot. But a lot of it has to do with everything in the pathway, because you're making the clay, you're aging the clay, you're, like, running it through these mills, and then you're able to, like, make the piece. So it's like, it's not very linear. But as potters, we work in a series. So we'll do like a board of the same thing. We'll do like 12, you know, and that's just like the cycle of how we work. Then we'll trim 12 of these cups, and then we'll pull 12 of these handles. And,
sure.
Yeah. And
so you're batching.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like working in a series, and so like your head can like wrap around where you're at that moment. You know, but. Yeah, so it's like it's really quick, like the throwing, the trimming, the handle pulling, like all of it does not take very long. But when you're doing a dozen at a time, then it ends up to be like, you know, a couple hours or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you regularly do do you do mostly your own kind of batches, or do you also take commissions?
I do. I do special orders, but I'm very anal lately. Like, I'm well, only because, like, I will only work with people that are very easy to work with.
Functional, like, people. 100%. Functional pottery for functional people.
Well, I've been burned so many times, and I'm like, it's like, people that aren't great to work with, like, they're not really great to work with. Yeah. So I'm just gonna let it slide. Mainly because I don't do this for money. I do this for love and joy. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, I have a full-time job because I am a full-time potter. So, like, I can't pay my bills with coffee cups.
Yeah.
So I choose wisely what I will take on, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that is very wise. I mean, when you have something that you love to do and it is so time consuming, as far as, like, actually you're physically making the material, the raw material that you are going to use to then create the things, it makes perfect sense that you would not want to pollute that time and space and energy
100%
with non-functional people. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful, though. I heard something that you said just a minute or so ago about a pathway. And so I'm so curious to know if there is an image or a metaphor that you might use to describe your creative process. Because this is the Winding Roads art tour, right? And when we think about those winding roads, it's not just the actual geography of this region, which, of course, is part of it, but it's also this idea of the detour. It's the idea of, like, turning a corner and not knowing what you're going to find, like, around the next bend, or, you know, just kind of, like, having that surprise. And so I'm curious to know if you have an image that you would ascribe to your creative process.
Interesting. When I'm making, I feel there is this time for my brain to, like, wander.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the best ideas that I get for, like, the next piece happen while I'm working on whatever it is I'm working on.
Yeah.
And that to me is, like, the closest thing I can think of what maybe you're asking of. It, because you have to let, like, a part of your brain go free to then experience whatever your brain is, like, thinking about at that moment. So, like, I try to pay attention to that.
Almost like a bird's eye view.
Yeah. I mean, I feel a lot of things happen in dreams.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'll get one or two good ideas in dreams, but, like,
it's hard sometimes to parse out what's a good dream idea and what's just, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. I've never been a good dream journaler. It's something that I've always aspired to, and then I could never, can never keep it consistent, but
I haven't journaled either, but I do feel they're important.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I also think that there's something to be said about that repetitive movement when you're making the same or a similar thing over and over again. I'm a knitter. And so when I am engaging in that movement and I'm just kind of really in the zone, like, that's a time that I can, yeah. I could watch TV and I can, like, do other things, but I can also just sit and just,
yeah, knit one, purl two.
Right, just wander, you know? And it's that repetition that kind of helps some of that bubble to the surface.
Yeah. 100%, 100%, yep. It's in the work.
Yeah.
You're doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're working, you can figure out other things, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really resonate that with that. That's really cool. Yeah, we got some snaps going on. Well, I am kind of coming to a close with my questions. I feel like we've gotten this really amazing idea of where you've come from as a young person, how you have matured into craftsmanship and artistry as a potter, and your creative practice and how you use that work to solve and to wander in your own mind. I'm wondering, Greg, if there's any final thoughts that you want to share.
My favorite thing is I have all these people that say, you know, I use your coffee cup every morning.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. And for me, that has brought me so much joy over the years. You know, like, I don't know how many years I've been making coffee cups. But what is wonderful is this whole aspect of the handle to the your hand and the lip to your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just like that's what really gets me every time. Like, you know, I feel honored that these people like are drinking coffee out of my cups every day.
Yeah. I mean, that is really incredible to think about.
And it's amazing.
It really is.
It's amazing.
I bought one of your coffee mugs for my husband at the Soldiers Grove Art Fair. And I remember seeing this and thinking, well, he pointed it out and was like, ooh, that one's so nice. And I was like,
love you, Jen.
Okay, I'm going to take note. And so I know that, you know, you have fingerprints, literal fingerprints on the bottoms of your coffee mugs.
Literally.
It's so cool. And we really do think about you every time we use that mug for coffee or tea. And I think it's just testament to the importance of this kind of artistry and craftsmanship in our lives, that we're not just looking at these, you know, pieces of flatware or cups or whatever and just thinking, eh, you know, it's neutral. It's whatever.
Yeah.
We're looking at it and there's a person behind it. And 100%. It's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg, for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Namaste.
Namaste.